Disclaimer, I am a counseling student, I am not a mental health professional, and I cannot give or offer mental health services. You are listening to Good You. I'm your host, Samantha Simo, and today I'm sitting down with guest Alexis McCluskey, who is a life and mindset direction coach, and she is known on Instagram as the Tough Love Coach. So today we're going to be talking about how to turn self-doubt into self-motivation and self-determination. I know it's something that is a very common struggle. It's something that Alexis does a lot of work in, and she thrives in this type of coaching. She is the type of coach that you go to when you really want like a strong and solid foundation of a coach who isn't going to coddle you, but is going to push you to where you need to be. And I find that really cool. You know, reflecting on ourselves and being honest with ourselves sometimes can be really hard. So it can really help when you have someone there that pushes you, that calls you out and tells you what they see, because sometimes we don't even see it. And it takes someone else to point it out to us to really be honest with ourselves and see what we need to work on, see what's going to get us to our end goal. You know, therapy and counseling gets us really far in our emotions and understanding and becoming self-aware. So getting a coach can be really helpful for the next steps. So I hope you enjoy today's episode. I really enjoyed recording with Alexis. Super cool, really, really chill person that you can tell really loves what she does and cares about the people she works with. So enjoy today's episode and let's get started. So hello, Alexis. How are you today?
I'm fantastic. It's a Friday. It's sunny in Colorado. So,
oh, you're in Colorado.
Yeah. You're in Louisiana, right?
Yes. I just saw you went to Buku.
Yeah, it was really fun. I didn't even know Buku was like an actual, I mean, I've been to a million festivals and I never even heard of Buku, but supposedly it's been around for like 10 years. It was like, oh, news to me. So
yeah,
we go back.
It's pretty small, I feel like, it compared to the other ones that I've seen. And I mean, even compared to Voodoo over here. Have you been to Voodoo?
No, I haven't been. I've been to New Orleans a few times, but I haven't been to music festivals in New Orleans. But I've been to like 30 plus music festivals, and Buku was honestly like probably in my top five.
Awesome.
Are honestly the better ones. Mm-hmm. Like Ultra, which is one of the bigger ones, is my least favorite festival. It's just like the energy's not really there. People are there to like be at Ultra. They're not there for like the vibes and the music and all that. So I love the smaller festivals. They're fun.
Yeah. Buku is 1000% like that. I was at a wedding in California. So, which was great. It was, but yeah. I just wanted to introduce you on the podcast really quick. And I want you to tell everybody about yourself and what you do.
Yeah. So, do you want me to give like a little bit of a backstory? Cause I can kind of go a million different ways. Okay. So, I mean, I'm Alexis McCluskey. I used to be Alexis Doss, but I got married like 6 months ago. So still.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah. Thanks. It was awesome, but yeah, I'm Alexis McCluskey. I am a life and mindset direction coach, kind of like throw a business coach in there too. But as I'm sure you'll see, as we talk today, that mindset to me matters more than anything else. Even in your business, if you can get your mindset right, any of the social media things, all that business stuff, you can get it done. So I kind of work a little bit in all of that, but I started as a kind of like holistic health nutrition coach. Okay. And kind of going back further, I actually went to school to be a high school history teacher. And like growing up, I grew up in Delaware, which is the first state. Some people don't know that. I've lived in a bunch of places. And when I've said that, people are like, oh, I had no idea. So fact for maybe some people, but so I lived in like a place where it was like small state, not even city, small state, where everybody knew each other. They say Delaware bred, Delaware fed, Delaware dead. Like everybody just like there, and then they stay there. And so I thought I was just going to like marry my high school sweetheart, which I was with for like 7 years since I was 15. And then I was going to be a teacher. We were going to have kids and we were going to live in the house. And then that didn't happen. But I went to a really small college and went to in Pennsylvania and thought I was going to be a high school history teacher, went through the student teaching. I was like, I don't like these kids. No offense to anybody that has kids, but I'm like, I don't do this. I think I do fine. And cause I don't want my own, but I thought I would at least be able to like teach them. And I just realized it wasn't for me. So I kind of had a quarter life crisis halfway through my senior year. And I was like, I just spent 4 years doing this. Like, what am I going to do? So I ended up graduating. And at the time I had been dating a guy that I had met online, but we did meet in person. It wasn't like just like a catfish thing. Like we met online a few times. And then when I graduated college, I just, with my quarter life crisis, I decided I was going to up and leave Pennsylvania and move across the country, California. And I was going to become an actress. Like I like straight up was having a crisis. And so the guy I was with, I didn't know it at the time. All my friends and my family knew, but it was like an extremely emotionally abusive relationship, but like, I didn't see it. So I moved, I flew to Washington State with like just a suitcase and like a book bag. And our plans were to like get a car and drive down to LA. Like we literally, like, it was like, we bought a car off of Craigslist type thing. And so we drove down to LA. And when we got there, this house that he said we were going to move into, he lied, didn't exist. He just essentially wanted me to like follow him there. And so I was homeless, sleeping out of my car for about 3 months, like in the streets of LA, just like living off of boxes of Cheerios and like sleeping in Target parking lots, brushing my teeth, like in the bathroom, like praying that no one would walk in and see me. And so going through emotionally abusive relationship, I ended up developing 2 eating disorders. I was like just going through it. But I also was like a big, and this is, I have a book that I want to write, not anytime soon, but it's like what I want my first book to be. And it's essentially about like being in that like pity party victim mentality space, even if you've been through it. And so like, that's where I was. And I finally got out of that relationship. And in February of 2013, I was diagnosed with PCOS, which is polycystic ovarian syndrome. And it can just cause like infertility, weight gain, hair loss, hair growth in places that you don't really want. It was just like a mess. And it was for the first time in my life, I was like, something's wrong with me, essentially. And so that was kind of the moment that made me start to take care of my health. Cause before that I was like binge drinking Bud Light and like eating cheesesteaks every single night. And so I started like taking care of myself. And then from there, like up until this point, it's just been a journey of me figuring out like me, whether it be like my physical health, my mental health, my spiritual health, like all the things. And then, you know, that kind of led me to becoming a holistic nutrition coach. And then I realized after doing the work for a bit that like what I do now is much more my vibe. So I've kind of had lived a lot of different lives over the past like 9-10 years, but it's brought me to this point essentially. So yeah.
That is like you took the words out of my mouth. Cause I was about to say, when is the book coming out? Like I need the whole story. That's awesome though. Like, you coming from all of those different areas and being able to say like, yeah, I mean, now I think in a way that I will never put myself in that mindset again because of me being there before.
Yeah, exactly. And like I I teach this to my clients, but like whether it be coming out with a podcast or a book, or I get questions about that a lot. Like, are you going to do this yet? Are you that yet? And I'm like, I'm just doing my thing right now. I think we live in a world where we have apps that make us like push a button and we have food that comes to our house or a car. And we just want everything now that we're kind of like stuck in this place that like, I need to be successful before the age of 30. And like, this needs to happen. And not that you can't, you know, be ambitious and strive for those things, but I'm kind of just good with where I am, and I'll get to that probably sooner than later, but I'm in no rush to like rush it. I just kind of feel I have lots of things planned, especially for this year, but I'm kind of good with where I am. And I think practicing that patience is something that is important to me, but I try to teach that to other people, because when you can be patient, but also like work for what you want, like you can live in the present moment instead of constantly focusing on like, okay, what's like my next achievement essentially.
That's like literally what I struggle with. And I started reading this book called The Power of Now. And and like, I know this is awful and literally just says like the level of impatience that I have, but I listen to everything audiobook. And Yeah, because I mean, I can't. I don't even have the time to sit and read. But I'm like, he talks so slow, but he's talking about me needing to be patient. So like, but I'm trying to get through. I have like three books at once I'm reading right now, but it is really good. And it is opening my mind to being better about that.
Yeah. It takes time to be patient with time, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah. But, well, yeah. So what made you like, obviously all of those things put together made you want to enter this line of work. But is there anything specific that made you like really push for it and get to where you are?
I would say that there's not necessarily like this one defining moment. I mean, there's probably a few I could pull out, but it really was like the accumulation of essentially being tired of being in this like pity party state. And essentially it's just like that, like misery loves company. Like if I'm upset and everybody feels bad for me, instead of facing the shit that I actually need to face, I can just have people feel bad for me. And then I was just working with a client on this earlier today, is like a lot of times we will self-sabotage because, like, you know, for example, if you have an interview and you have a fear of failure and you are afraid that, you know, what if I interview and I don't get the job? So a lot of people will self-sabotage. They'll like procrastinate till the last minute. They won't like prepare and they'll kind of get in their own way. So if they end up not getting the job, they can go, you know what? I really didn't give it my all. Instead of going, what if I do give my all and I still don't get it? It's harder on the ego. And so for me, that was kind of where I was, where it was just like, if I just either blame everybody else or blame this other thing, instead of like really looking inward in like my trauma and my past and like all these things that I've been through, it's just easier. It's easier to face. And so I would say it was kind of the accumulation of all these different little moments, but there's probably two that really stick out that were like in the beginning, and then ones later on that really kind of helped me go to the next level, essentially. But one of them was when I was homeless, and when you're homeless, you meet like a lot of random people because you don't have anything else to do. And so I met this girl, and she invited me to like this opening of this new barbershop that like her and her friend were opening up. And when we were there, we were like having drinks and food and whatever. And she was like, I was telling her how I don't have a job and I'm kind of looking for one. And she was like, well, why don't you come and like just start with like sweeping up here and helping us around the shop? And I was like, I don't want to do that. And she like looked at me and she was like, so you're telling me that you have this problem. You don't have money. You don't have a job. I'm giving you one, but you don't want to do it. And she like called me out on it. Again, it was like this, I just want to stay in my victim mentality because then that's easier. And even though it's not fun, it's a comfort zone. And I kind of was like, oh, I didn't end up taking the job, but it was like that like smack in the face. And so that was one thing that like kind of made me want to get my shit together, essentially. But then once I started my business and I was like navigating social media and posting and like actually being consistent and doing the work, I kind of was like, I guess sharing whether it be through friends or social media that I was like, want to be this girl boss and doing all this stuff. And like behind the scenes, not that I wasn't doing anything, but like I could totally do more. And I lived with my sister at the time. And I remember she came in my room one day when I was probably not working and doing something else. And she like slapped the book hashtag girl boss by Sophia Amoroso, which is really, really good. She's the creator of Nasty Gal. She like went bankrupt and went through all this stuff. And her story is really amazing. And she like slapped this book down. And she was like, if you want to be a real girl boss, you need to read this book and act like one. And she's like 6 years younger than me. I think I was like 24, 25 at the time. She's like 18. I'm like, oh my God, it's so embarrassing. And so that was another moment that kind of like woke me up. It wasn't, again, like this like crazy, crazy moment. I feel like, you know, being homeless was probably a big one, but that was like, once I had already started my business, it made me like realize I need to like get my stuff together. And then from there, so much of the work I do now, and I share this all the time on my social media, is that everything that I share and everything that I'm like tough love about, cause that's like my thing, is I dealt with that and like had to be an absolute mess with that specific thing and be my own tough love person in order for me to be able to help you now, essentially. And the things that I serve people with, give value on social media, help my clients with, even if I'm giving them tough love, I always remind them, like, I'm giving you this tough love because I was in this exact place. So I get it. You know what I mean? So I would say it was me waking up to my own shit and being like, you got to figure it out. So yeah.
Tough love, 'cause I care.
Yeah, exactly. And I tell my clients, I'm never going to be mean to you. I'm just going to tell you the things that you don't want to hear to get you to exactly where you just told me you want to get, because I know I needed somebody being tough love, like that girl at the barbershop. Yep. And so I'm definitely not for everyone. My page is not for everyone. My coaching is not for everyone, but for the people I am for, like, that tough love will definitely serve them.
You're very much I'm wondering if it's kind of like a gestalt level of therapy type of coach. 'Cause it's, you're very much like point out the facts of what's right in front of your face.
Yeah. And I love that a lot, but that is definitely my personality. And I've always done, I played sports my whole life. I played volleyball for 13 years. And so the like, no BS, straight to the point, like, let's go type of person. Like, I love that for me. And that's what I like to be for other people. 'Cause I do think there is a time and place, and it's so funny. I have so many people that come to me that work with me. I'm not a therapist, but a lot of the stuff that like I talk about will have some crosshairs, of course. And so a lot of people will come to me and they're like, listen, I've had the grace and gentle and kindness and love yourself and all that. Not that I'm not about loving yourself, but like I need somebody to give me straight. Like, my therapist is nice, but I need somebody like that's the opposite, like an angel and devil for shoulder. So like I'm that other person, and I'm still definitely all about like not burning yourself out, giving yourself grace, giving yourself like taking the pressure off. I majority of my clients are perfectionists. And so like, that's important, but I'm definitely like, when you are done with like the soft and squishy and you've got that serving, I'm like the other side.
Like a
that
swift coffee. Kick in the ass. Like,
exactly.
Get you
when you're ready. 'Cause I know that there are people who will message me and they're like, I followed you like a while ago and I just like had to stop following you. But like, I kind of figured myself out and now I'm back and now I love your tough love. And I'm like, okay, cool. Like, I'm not going to be mad if you're not ready for it. It's fine.
Yeah. It is definitely a different level. And like for me, like my sister is very much straightforward and stuff. So, and I'm the younger sister. So I'm like, oh man, that's like, not that anything's wrong with it. I mean, I envy that. Like, I really wish and I know I could be, I try working on my like backbone kind of, you know what I mean? But yeah, I definitely would be, it's just something else I'm working on. There's so many things to work on.
Yeah. And there's, and as I learn about like, there's so many different personality tests and things, like there's like Enneagram and Myers-Briggs and all these things, but then there's also like Human Design and the Gene Keys and all these different, whether you call them personality or whatever. And it's so funny because in all of them, they're all, for me, they're always like, you use your throat and your voice and you are a leader and like this, it's very much like that is who you are. So they're all are people who aren't like that, but they're meant to be like that. So nothing necessarily says, I mean, you can flex your like authority, backbone, tough love, like muscle, but I would say like to anybody who feels like maybe they need to be that way to like be assertive, there's a time and a person for each of these spaces. Not every, we need those people who can be a little bit softer. 'Cause like, I have to work on being softer.
Yeah.
'Cause definitely times where I can be like, let's just go. 'Cause I dealt with my own shit for so long. Like, I don't even want to deal with anybody else's shit. You know, and it's kind of like not that harsh, but sometimes that's in my head, you know?
Totally. I totally get that. That's like, I definitely, you know what I've noticed and I've realized this recently is that I have no problem being like authoritative or like having that backbone when it comes to standing up for someone that I care about. But then if it's like about me, I'm like, no, it's fine. Like, I'm just, it's fine.
Yeah, it's really normal. Yeah.
Well, okay. So let's get into our episode today. We're talking about, how to turn self-doubt into self-motivation and determination. Basically like everything you talk about and what we've just talked about. So how would you define self-doubt? What does that look like?
Self-doubt. I'm all about like authenticity. That's like, probably if there was like one word that you'd say, what's the most important thing to you? It would be authenticity. And I think that self-doubt is not fully leaning into that authenticity, because you don't have to be like fit into other people's boxes or like achieve things or whatever it might be. Cause sometimes we'll doubt ourselves, but like we're doubting something that's not even true for us, right? Like we're doubting that we didn't do what our parents, you know, maybe they wanted us to be a doctor and go to college and do all this and we didn't do that. And then we're doubting ourselves when it's like, no, that's not, you're not doubting yourself because yourself may have wanted something else. So I think that truly, like if you are kind of checking in with yourself and saying, am I really doubting myself, is to make sure that you are like doubting, even though you don't want to doubt, but like make sure that you are not doubting the parts of you that you should doubt, if that makes sense. So I would say true self-doubt would be when you know it's something that you want to do or whatever, and it's authentic, but you're doubting that, that's when you can say, okay, let me focus down that road. Because that's a lot of the work that I do, is about make sure that you're working on healing, focusing on the right things instead of just like the surface level. Yeah. So I don't know if that's like a direct answer, but I think like the authenticity of it is really important. I know that might sound weird, like authentic and self-doubt don't necessarily go together, but I hope that essentially makes sense.
Yeah. It's like that, like learning to be self-reflective and be honest about your self-reflection goes into that authenticity.
Yeah. Yeah. And then if that's the case and you're like, okay, I'm doubting things and it's what I really want, then you can actually like ask, which is very important to me, is ask why, and ask like 5, 6, 7 layers deep to figure out like, okay, this is definitely something that I want, you know, it's authentic to me, but I'm doubting it. Why is that the case? Like, where is the doubt coming from? Because children don't grow up just starting to doubt themselves. Somebody taught them that. And so if you can figure out like whether it came from when you were younger or maybe a relationship or something, but there's usually someone that essentially taught you that behavior is like what you should do, or that like you're not worthy enough. So I think it's important to ask why as many layers down as you can.
Oh yeah. My therapist would always be like, whose voice is that? Who's yeah. Yeah. And I'm like, oh,
not mine.
Well, what makes us get stuck in that self-doubt thinking?
Again, I think if we go like a lot of layers deep, like when we first look at self-doubt, we're probably thinking like surface level, oh, it's me. Like, oh, it's just me doubting myself. But even if it might be true in that moment, there again, there's layers, and there's kind of like, we have to go back a few chapters because reason that we're doubting ourselves, like let's say that you are, you know, you want to quit your job and you want to start your own business, and you have that self-doubt of like, is it going to be worth it, or am I going to be good enough? Those questions that are connected to that self-doubt that you're going to ask yourself, again, usually come from someone else. Like, did you get role modeled the behavior that you have to, you know, I work with a lot of clients where they have parents where it's like, you know, you have to go to school and then you get married and then you have a kid and you just stay safe and it's fine. And so your fears connected to the self-doubt are probably, you know, have to do with that. Or if you're doubting like your body, again, did you have, I mean, maybe it's just society. I mean, a lot of us grew up in the 2000s and skinny was like the way to go. And so
low rise jeans, say there.
But so like society, and did you have parents that were telling you that? Maybe like middle schoolers are mean. I was bullied from like third grade all the way up to freshman year of high school. And so if you can reflect, because I think I posted yesterday on my Instagram about how like I say procrastination is a mask. I find that there's like 6 main reasons that, not that there can't be more, but 6 main reasons that we procrastinate. Like we procrastinate because usually we have a fear of failure, fear of success, all or nothing thinking, perfectionism, like a bunch of different things. And so to me, like just talking about this out loud is making me think that self-doubt seems like a mask. If you're doubting yourself and then you ask, what am I afraid of? What am I doubting? Then underneath, you're going to find out what your fear really is, that like, I'm doubting myself, but it's not just self-doubt. It's because I feel like I'm going to fail, or that I'm going to care about what people think or whatever. Like it definitely feels like there's something underneath that.
Yeah. And I feel like sometimes it just takes someone pointing that out to your face and being like, yeah, that it's almost like, oh, this whole time. But you can never see it for yourself unless someone points it out to you. Sometimes, I mean, sometimes.
Yeah, no, it's very true. And that's why, and it's not just because I'm a coach, because I've worked with coaches before I was a coach, but that's why having a coach or a therapist or someone that's like a third party, not like your mom or your, you know, your boyfriend, but like somebody that is kind of an outside perspective, because coaches, therapists, whoever, they kind of are able to like pull your head out of the clouds, sit right next to you and like, be like, hey, see that over there that you thought was this, like, it's actually that, you know, they just give you the perspective. Cause as coaches, cause you can coach people and you can mentor people. Coaching people is essentially just like asking the right questions, helping them see what they already know is inside of them. And mentoring is where you're actually like giving advice. This is what I would do, blah, blah, blah. And so like, I think just being able to get that perspective, like you know, deep down that you don't have to doubt yourself or that you aren't going to fail or that it's not going to be the end of the world. But without that perspective, sometimes it can be hard when we live in our head all the time. So we need somebody to like in there with us.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. that's definitely happened to me plenty of times, getting things called out in my face that was there the whole time. What common thinking patterns do you see the most, with clients that engage in self-doubt?
I would probably say perfectionism, like all or nothing thinking. I ask this question on like the first call with my clients a lot, if they're a perfectionist, and a lot of people will say no, but then I ask some other questions and they're like, oh, cause I think sometimes people put perfect, and there's levels of course, but like a lot of people put perfectionism in like the category of like, oh, I don't need things to be a certain way. It's like the same, like I have like diagnosed OCD, and a lot of people will just think OCD is just needing things to be clean. And like, that couldn't be farther from the truth. There's so many levels to it. And like, I'm not even that clean of a person. Like I'm clean. So the thing with perfectionism is it's not just like, I need things to like look a certain way. It's where the all or nothing thinking, which I would say that's the main thing that I find, is like the all or nothing of, and like how self-doubt would come into play. It's like, you know, let's say you're trying to start a new workout routine and you want to work out for like an hour every day and you can't get consistent with it. I'll ask a client, I'm like, okay, well, when you know, what's usually causing you to fall off track? And they'll say, well, when I get really busy or something else comes up. And I'm like, well, why can't you just do a 20-minute workout? Or they're like, but I need to do an hour. And I'm like, no, you don't. Yeah. Consistency comes from doing something every day, not doing exactly what you want perfectly. And so with this all or nothing thinking of like, if I can't do it this way or this long or this perfect, then I'm not good at it. And that's when like the doubt comes in. And I talk about this a lot on my Instagram, is like, most people think that they're doing worse than they are because that self-doubt creeps in. Because they have the all or nothing thinking of, oh, I'm not doing it as good as Alexis. Mm-hmm. Like, he messaged me the other day and was like, you know, I wish I could meditate for an hour like you do every day. I was like, where did you see that on my page? Never said that. I've never even meditated for an hour before, and I've been meditating for 7 years. It's like, I'm like a
really long time.
Right. Like, and so it's like this assumption. So I'd say like all or nothing in like the comparison. And then like thinking that they're doing worse than they are because it doesn't look a certain way. It's that need for perfection, that something's only good enough if it's perfect, if I'm doing it all, if I'm checking all the boxes. And I think when you let go of the perfectionism of the all or nothing thinking, then that self-doubt will, you know, creep away. Mm-hmm. Because you're not going to put this like impossible standard on yourself that makes you feel like you're not good enough. So definitely all or nothing comparison, perfectionism.
Yeah. I can definitely see that. You're like calling me out kind of, I'm going to move on. how can we turn self-doubt into motivation and determination?
So I'm always getting deep. I think that when we sometimes get fixated on the surface level of things, like, okay, how do we turn self-doubt into motivation? Read this book and say these affirmations and journal about this. I mean, not that those things don't work, but they are the surface level band-aid on the problem. But you can do those in accordance with working on the root. So if you're trying to turn self-doubt into motivation, identify where, you know, what's causing the self-doubt. and then go level deeper. And then what's causing that? So if you can figure out that you have a fear of failure and you identify where that comes from, you know, there's lots of different ways you can work through it. Like, you know, journaling prompts. I'm really big on, I love inner child work. Like doing visualizations where essentially you're walking your current self back, and having a conversation with your younger self, and specifically in those moments. So if you know the first time you felt self-doubt, the first time you felt fear of failure, the first time you, like, you have all or nothing thinking, or perfectionism, like the first time you needed to be perfect in order to feel safe. Mm-hmm. And then having that conversation with your younger self and telling her what she needed to hear in that moment. Like if you wish somebody could have intervened and said, hey, this is gonna fuck you up. Somebody could have came in there and said that, like, say those things, and then introduce a new way of thinking. Like if you, again, fear of failure, fear of success, all or nothing, whatever this is, even just the self-doubt in general, and say, like, I understand this is the old way of thinking, but here's the new, this is planting the seed. And it kind of essentially like draws a line in the subconscious that says, this is the old way of thinking. I understand that, I validate. And you're able to compartmentalize, because you can say, when we think that we just suck and we're not worthy and we're doubting ourselves and we fail at everything and we make everything just come from us. Mm-hmm. When we can do that and identify that and then work through that, we can say, you know what, this doesn't come from me. I'm responsible for it, but it came from mom, it came from dad, it came from teacher, it came from whoever. And then you can kind of like separate it. It takes your power back a little bit, because it you don't feel like it's all you. And so when you can do that, like, you're kind of, it doesn't mean that like once you do one inner child like visualization, then all your problems are gone. I definitely think it's like a once or twice a week thing over the course of, you know, time, however long it takes, until maybe you're not triggered as much. You don't doubt yourself as much. It doesn't have to go away. But once you do that and you plant that seed, as you go about your day and you do something at work or in your relationships or just, you know, whatever you're doing day to day, and that self-doubt starts to creep in, you can go, hey, we talked about this in that visualization. Not my way of thinking. What's the new way? Let's take action on the new way. And then that compounded over time will take the self-doubt away. Cause it's not about, same with like when I teach people about, it's not about trying to stop procrastinating. It's about identify why you're doing it and work on that. And the procrastination will melt away. So instead of just trying to motivate yourself, work on not only the self-doubt, but where it comes from. And then naturally, just like we brush our teeth, the motivation will come instead of you trying to search for the motivation. Does that make sense?
Yeah, big time. And I've seen that in myself, even just starting this podcast. I'm like, it, just trying to take it one day at a time in my mind is how it's been helping me. But it's also with working out everything. But I think if we think of it, how we reflect on other areas in our life, like we should be,
That's ADHD. My clients know, like, I'll be like talking and then I'm like, it's happening. Let me take a second. Like, I lose my train.
It's like, it's going away. It's going to come back to me. It is. It's going to come back to me. And it's always going to be when someone else is talking. Oh God, I'm the worst. Anyway,
I have to write things down. I write things down, type things down. I'll forget.
That's a good idea. I'm just going to like side note stuff over here. Okay. Well, how can we maintain that motivation? So kind of what you were saying, like that's going to naturally maintain once you start working on your self-doubt.
Yeah. Like, and cause there's like two levels to the work essentially when we're really trying to like move past a limiting belief or a negative thought pattern is like the deep work. But then this is where the more surface level, and I don't mean surface level band-aid in a bad way. It's just like that has to be secondary to the other stuff, because then if not, that's when you end up in this like start, stop. Why a lot of people come to me is because they're like, in my bio, it says, I help women identify and remove what's blocking them from following through on their goals. And a lot of the people that come to me, they've already gone to therapists. They've already done a lot of like this specific work, but they're kind of just like doing these surface level band-aid issues instead of getting down to the root. And so when you can do that, then you can really start to like lean into those, not that you can't do it at the same time, but you know what I'm saying. So, I would say like in terms of, like continuing that motivation, it would be to find what works for you. There's so much stuff on social media and books and podcasts and all the things. And sometimes I think we can get overwhelmed with like, okay, so I need to do inner child work, and then I need to do shadow work, and then I need to go see a shaman and do ayahuasca in the jungle, and like all these different million things. And it's like, all of them work. All of them truly do work, but it's about figuring out what's right for you in the moment. I love metaphors. I use them a lot. And so I like just came up with this weird metaphor the other day to essentially like help people make sure that they're like working on the right thing again, whatever's for them. And so sometimes it's like, if your car breaks down and you get a flat tire, what a lot of people are doing is they're like, instead of focusing on the flat tire, which is the present moment, it's what is important to work on for them in that moment. They're like, I'm going to miss my doctor's appointment next week, and I got to make this phone call to somebody. And then like, what am I? And they're like thinking about everything that's going to happen in like the future or this other thing. And it's like, let's focus on the flat tire, and then we can work on that. You know what I mean? Yeah. So what I mean by this in terms of what I'm explaining is like, even inner child work, like that can be pretty intense for some people. And so when I talk to my clients about it, I'm like, listen, I'm introducing this to you as an exercise, but if the idea of sitting with your feelings at that deep level and screaming, crying into a pillow is a little too much, don't do it just yet. Start with some journal prompts. Start with just like listening to a podcast if you've never listened to one. Kind of like think about, okay, what do I want to get motivated on? If it's working out, if it's my healing journey, if it's whatever, if it's just like my day-to-day things I procrastinate on, then figure out like, what's your end goal? And then how can you essentially build like levels up to it? Like think of the back of a hot sauce bottle, again, me with my metaphors, the back of a hot sauce bottle. And there's like, this is like 2 peppers spicy, and this is 10 peppers spicy. It's like, start with 2 peppers of spice. Don't jump into like 10 peppers of spice, like kind of build your way up, and then you won't get your motivation won't get discouraged because you're not living up again to these impossible standards. Why perfectionism always comes in. So, okay, how can I motivate myself where I'm at, fix my flat tire here, instead of thinking about what's going to happen next week? And you'll be more encouraged because you're meeting yourself where you're at, instead of trying to like do what you saw somebody do on Instagram.
Yeah. I mean, I think that is why so many people are perfectionists nowadays, is because everything looks so great. Oh, this person's house is always clean. And it's like, no, it's not. Like,
no,
it is not. And then I feel bad about walking in my house and it looking like a disaster. And then I'm like, I could never be some Instagram person because my house looks like this.
Not me. That's definitely not me.
Just like got to clear the area for the camera and you're good. You know what I mean? That's probably what happens.
Keep it back there. I'll show it. I'm like, this is me. Like, I'll be in my kitchen. I'll be like, you see those dishes over there? Cause like, I like want people to see. Yeah. Social media like definitely makes us feel like, even like relationships, careers, like all the things makes us feel like we need to like have things be a certain way or else it's not good enough. And that's what demotivates us, because it's so far from where we are that that's when people go, why even bother? Is it going to be worth it? So meet yourself, fix your flat tire.
Yeah. I love that. I love that. Cause like, I kind of, you know, I feel like I focus my reels on more like humor towards mental health, because if we take everything so seriously in it, then there's just no joy anymore in it.
Yeah. And like, that's, I think it's important that I get messages from people that like, are like, that's the reason why I like you, is because you find a way to like bring humor into things that aren't so comfortable. And of course there are pages who take it more seriously, and that's either meant for a different person or a different time. And there's definitely balance, but like, I need the humor because life's too short to like take everything too seriously.
That is so my coping mechanism. Like, you need some good humor, come to me. Well, so, what bumps in the road do people find on this journey of going into motivation?
Like, what bumps in the road do they find when they're trying to like stay motivated, get motivated?
Yeah. When they're trying to fix that tire and they're.
Biggest thing would be like staying in your own lane. Comparison is definitely going to be a big thing that kind of comes into play, similar to what we were just talking about with like the way Instagram looks. But I would say like, again, seeing what like your friend is doing or somebody on social media, and then like you're trying to fix the your flat tire on the side of the road, and you're like in the middle of the road looking at other people's tires. It's like you're gonna get hit by a car.
You're like, someone really, help me.
Exactly. So that's definitely gonna be a big one. And I think one of my favorite books is Atomic Habits by James Clear. I have really hardcore ADHD, and I've read every book on procrastination, time management, whatever. And that book is just like so tangible. Like the first like three sentences, you're like, I can apply this right now. Like sometimes you like Power of Now, love that book, but you got to like read the whole thing and process it. And then, you know, it really starts to stick. But like Atomic Habits is just very straight to the point. And so much of what I learned in that book, I love using like in my teaching. And so in it, he talks about how like, I could probably talk about like a million things, but he just talks about how like there's certain things that kind of happen to us when we're creating a habit. Like there's a cue, craving, response, reward. And when you have a cue, craving, response, reward with a habit, it needs to be easy, obvious, attractive, satisfying. So for example, like if you, and you can do this when you're creating a good habit or trying to get rid of a bad one, but if somebody smokes cigarettes, their cue is going to be like to, when they make a cup of coffee, they want to have a cigarette, or when they make, or they finish dinner, they want to have a cigarette. So that would be the cue, is like make a cup of coffee. Then the craving is going to be to have a cigarette. The response is going to be to smoke the cigarette. The reward is going to be the nicotine buzz. Right. And so with the easy, obvious, attractive, satisfying, the easy would be like having the cigarettes very readily in your pocket. The obvious kind of be the same. Sometimes easy and obvious are similar. But the obvious is probably going to be like, again, the connected, like the cue, like, okay, I'm obviously going to have a cigarette every time I finish a cup of coffee or, you know, have dinner. And the attractive, satisfying, can just be like, I mean, maybe after a while you don't care, but like people like the way that they look, and the satisfying is going to be how it makes you feel. But understanding things like that and taking it from like the mindset side to like what's actually going on inside, I think can be beneficial to get over the roadblocks of like, you know, I don't feel like doing it. I'd rather be doing something else. I mean, I'm lazy. But if you could say, okay, I can actually plug and play into something and make it work for me instead of just trying to wing it, it can make the process a little bit easier. And, mm-hmm. and so there's a lot of really helpful things in that book. So I guess the reason why I'm bringing it up is because one of the biggest roadblocks that you'll run into when it comes to motivation is the just not feeling like doing it, procrastinating and things like that. So if we go back to working on why you're doing it, that's the most important, mm-hmm. but then it's like, okay, what can I use as a tool to make it happen? And then I'm all about, again, this is where I think, again, that comparison might come in a little bit, because we want us to just have the motivation and not procrastinate and just do it. It's like, why can't I just do it? And it's like, no, sometimes we're going to forget. So like for me, I teach people about this stuff. And when I'm creating a new habit or when I need to like be more consistent with something, I'm using a bunch of alarms. I have sticky notes up everywhere. And don't be like ashamed to like remind yourself. I work with moms all the time. I'm not a mom, but I love my moms, and they feel like they need to be superhuman. And so they'll do something, maybe they're doing something for like their business, or they're doing something for like, I don't know, something that they need to remember. Mm-hmm. And they have 25 million kids to take care of. And then they got a job, and they have this, they have that. They got to keep themselves alive. They got to drink water, all these things. And they just like
water.
They expect themselves to just remember things. And I'm like, no, set reminders, put it in your calendar, like put all these sticky notes up. So I would say like the piece of motivation or the roadblock of like the procrastination, not feeling like it, forgetting, do what you need to do. Use the tools that are there for you that you can find to help you establish routines and habits. That way it eventually, because once a habit becomes established enough, you won't need the motivation to do it. It's why, you know, you can get working out, eating healthy to a point where you might not feel like doing it, but you'll do it anyway. And when people are like, there's no way, I'm like, well, when you brush your teeth in the morning, if you don't feel like it, you might say, I don't feel like it, but you're still going to do it. So anything can become like that if you do it long enough and you're patient long enough.
Yeah. It's funny. Cause like I work out in the mornings, like before work, before anything, early. And I was like, you know what? My semester changed. Now I have time to do it after. I can maybe sleep in a little. This is like spoiling myself, I know. But then I'd forget. Cause I was so used to working out in the morning. I'd be like, it would be like, I'm laying in bed and I'm like, I didn't go to the gym today.
Yeah, that's like that. That reminds me, I think it's another thing he talks about in the book about having like anchor routines. And so, or I guess you call it anchor routines. So it's like when you have something that you need to do, like let's say, you know, or with using the example of working out, your anchor was doing it in the morning. And so if you remove the anchor, then it's easy to forget because you don't have that anchor anymore. And so like there's another book I love called Limitless by Jim Quick, and he essentially just talks about how your brain works. And there's been studies that have shown like if you take a student that's studying for like finals or midterms in college and they study, their anchor routine would be to study at the same desk with the same like candle lit, so they have the same scent, same gum. And you have that, like every time you do it, your brain will get into a flow state quicker because it's you're anchoring yourself in that moment. But if you like study in your room and then in the coffee shop and then here, like not that you can never do it, but to make things stick, it'll help. And so when you go to like take your finals and you chew the same gum, it actually helps bring memories back. So there's like a very important thing, having your anchors, the time of day, the environment, like all those things are really important. So that makes sense why you easily forgot, because you didn't have the anchor of doing it in the morning. You kind of took that away from yourself.
Well, I just said screw it and started going back in the morning. I was like, I can't do this. I'm
Way I have to work out early.
gonna start wearing perfume when I study
It works.
and just spray it on right before the test.
Yeah.
So let's see. Do you have your own? Well, I guess you've kind of gone into the your own success story into turning your self-doubt into self-motivation. It was like
Yeah.
all that beginning.
Yeah. I mean, I've probably had like a few different like moments in my life where I've you know, doubted myself in some way. But I would say like everybody has their things that based off their childhood they struggle with, but then there's also things that we've benefited from, you know, based off of how our parents raised us. And one thing that I'm really grateful for is my mom. Most of the stuff I help my clients with is something that I've been through myself. That usually makes what makes the best coaches is they struggle with something, they figure it out, and they help other people how to do it. But the one thing that I haven't really, not never struggled with, but it hasn't been a big thing in my life, is like the fear of failure or like perfectionism, which is funny because that's what I help people with most. But my mom always really instilled in me like it's okay to fail, like take chances, it's not scary, you know what I mean? So she really instilled that in me. So I feel like that kind of has helped my self-doubt in terms of, because I feel like self-doubt is very much most of the time connected to fear of failure. Even if like you care about what people think or you have these other things there, it's still like at the end of the day, like I don't want to fail, so I'm going to procrastinate so I never have to start and never possibly fail. Like there's so many things connected to that. So I feel like in terms of like my achievements and my abilities, I have always kind of had that instilled in me. But the one thing that I have doubted, you know, in my life was like more of like my body, like going through an eating disorder, being, and also in, I would say like physical appearance, like body, and then like relationships, because I was in an emotionally abusive relationship. Also my 7-year relationship, I got cheated on. So it's like every relationship I had until the relationship I'm in now, which is an extremely healthy one, has been like the healthiest one. Like I trust him more than anybody in the world. And so I would say my relationships and like physical was a big hurdle for me to overcome. And I think that in terms of like the physical side of things and having an eating disorder, I think was really reflecting on like why, again, I'm always asking why, but like why it was so wrong for me to believe in myself. Like I don't love myself, but why can't I? Like why don't I deserve to? And then digging into like that. And then in relationships, like why don't I deserve to be happy? Like why would I doubt that I can have a healthy relationship? Because when you ask yourself that, I asked a client this question today, because she was struggling with like consistency, and she was like, I'm really good at you know, working hard at work, but when it comes to myself, like I procrastinate a lot. And so I asked her the question. It was indirect, but I said, why is it so hard for you to keep promises to yourself? And she was like, and she did, she was like, oh, I didn't know, because it's like it's really what it is. And so when you can ask yourself the right questions, I think that that can help you get past that that self-doubt. So I think for me, and that's why I think I'm really good at my job. I also think that I was just like born with this really good intuition of like, a lot of times people, when they're learning to be coaches, they have to like learn how to ask the right questions. And I still do educate myself and learn every day, but that's just always been something I've been really good at. Like I have people tell me that all the time, like I've never had anybody ask me that question before. So I think I'm just good at that. And so I got really good at asking myself the right questions, and that helped. Again, it's all about what happens and then in turn builds that self-doubt. So yeah, I know that's not the best answer in terms of like, okay, well, what questions, but I would say like asking yourself the right questions will give you the true and right answers and what you need.
And so right when you said that about like, why can't you trust yourself? Like I literally went through this whole epiphany like a few months ago. And I was like, you know what I think? Cause I'm with a self-love coach right now. And I'm like, I think I have an issue with trusting myself because I'm the first one where I need to be, work, whatever. I'm early. I'm always on time. I show up, I do whatever I can for other people. And then for myself, I'm like, whatever. And I'm like, why? Like I'm lying to myself. I would never do that to anyone that I care about. I would never tell them that I'll do something and then not show up for it. So why do I do that to me? It is so true that you said that. Cause like, hopefully someone listening that could resonate, you know, that's so big.
Yeah. And I find too, that a lot of times, if that's the case, if people are very easily able to like they do really well when they're accountable to other people and people need them, but they can't do the same for themselves, is usually, again, going back further, is that they've probably experienced something where, whether it be with a parent or somebody else, that they had to prove themselves.
It's like, if I prove
myself, I'm like, if you have a parent that tells you you're not good enough or tells you you're lazy or anything where they're really hard on you, then essentially like, it's like, okay, if I do good enough, then it'll be worthy enough and then I'll be fine. So you don't bother wasting time proving things to yourself. It's like, let me just constantly prove things to other people, then I'll be good enough. So if you can flip those scales and make the promises to yourself matter more than other people, doesn't mean you drop everybody else, but then you'll have that big shift, because trusting yourself is probably more important than like what most people like give credit to that idea. They're like, I gotta love myself, I gotta this. And I guess they're all attached, but if you can trust yourself, it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter if you fail. It doesn't matter if you succeed or whatever, because you trust that you're always doing what's best for you.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really glad that you said that, because I think you're right. I think people are like, well, I gotta love myself first. Gotta put that on the hierarchy. But I've never thought of self-trust before. And when I did, I was just like, this is huge. And so, yeah.
And it's honestly, not, I wouldn't say it's easier, but sometimes, especially if you've been through it, depending on what you've been through, you know, trauma with a big T or a little T, which Gabby Bernstein says, but loving yourself is hard. You know what I mean? Like when I create affirmations for my clients, and sometimes we have to like reword them until they're like, I can't even like begin to look at this affirmation. I can't say like, I love myself. It's gotta be something like a working affirmation. Like I'm working on getting close to being something here, loving myself. And so like trusting yourself a little bit easier than like jumping into like love. They're both going to be really hard. Yeah. But I think it's funny because this is something I've experienced more over like the past few years of working with people. I have two people in two different categories when they come to work with me. And not that they're only these categories, but I could bunch them into these. They're either the people that know exactly what they want. They like have this business, they have like a purpose, whatever, but they just need guidance on like getting out of their own way, whatever, but they know what they want to do. Mm-hmm. And then I have a lot of other people, and it's happened more often recently. I think like something with like COVID made a lot of people realize that they don't have a lot of time and they got to like do what they want to do and not work their job. But a lot of people in the other category are, they have no idea what they want. They don't know what their purpose is. They like don't know what they want to do with a job. And like, we're trying to help them find that. And what I tell them is, I don't want to help you find your purpose. I want to help you trust yourself, because if you trust yourself, the clarity of what's my purpose will come. And a lot of people are just trying to find my purpose, my purpose, my purpose. And it's like, well, let go of that and just figure out, you know, why don't you trust yourself? And the reason I kind of like came up with this idea that purpose and trusting yourself are connected was because I had somebody message me on Instagram one time and they were like, you know, you do all these different things, like, and I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to start a podcast. Like, I want to do all these things. How do I know which one's the right one? Like, which one am I meant to do? And she's like, how do you decide? And I'm like, I just trust myself so much that I know if I were to write a book or I would start a podcast or whatever, I would just trust that it was the right one. It wouldn't matter like which one it had to be. If I trust myself, whatever I choose is going to be the right one. So I really think that if you trust yourself, the clarity of the other things that you're looking for, like if you notice there's a common theme, right? There, yeah. I'm always talking about this, like this thing will lead to this thing. But I think that's like what will help people, depending on what it is, stop struggling with like this and they can focus on this and then it'll answer 5 other questions. Like, I know that's kind of like all over the place, but
no, it's true. I was just thinking about how self-sabotage could tie into that too, because then you can't trust yourself because you're sabotaging yourself.
Exactly. I think trust is like, it's not that I was going to say self-love is out. Self-trust is like both are both there, but I think it needs to be, not that I'm the only one to talk about it, but I think it could be talked about more, like not just self-love, but like trust. Yourself and lots of other things will come into play.
Oh, big time. Yeah. Hopefully someone had a little epiphany there with me, because that was, took me a few days to realize what I just had done. So, okay. Well, we answered all the questions regarding the self-doubt and motivation and determination. Now yeah. I want you to say where people can find you and follow you.
Yeah. So my husband had to have like a long last name. I had the easy name. My last name was Doss, D-O-S-S. But now on Instagram, I'm Alexis Renee McCluskey. So that's A-L-E-X-I-S-R-E-N-E-E. And then the last name is M-E-C-L-O-S-K-E-Y. I had to change it. And it is what it is. So Alexis Renee McCluskey on Instagram. And that's really the mainly where I'm at. Like I have all, if you go to my Instagram, everything else is in that link in my bio. And I like to say, like, I don't have a fancy website. I'm working on it this year. I've been doing this business for 9 years and I've never had a fancy website. So if having a fancy website is stopping anybody listening to this from starting, I've been successful and I've never had a fancy website. So don't even worry about it, but I'm mainly on Instagram. I don't have a podcast. I don't have anything like that. You can find all the links to work with me in my bio. I have a one-on-one coaching program. I only take about 8 to 10 clients at a time. And if you're not ready for tough love, don't even bother filling out an application. Like, I love everybody. And I have tons of free content on my page. Like I give a lot of value in the captions and in like my actual posts. So you can get a lot of stuff there. But if you're ready for tough love and you want to jump in and identify what the heck is in your way and like have us work through it, it's a 2-month program. We meet every week on Zoom for an hour. And you also get access to me outside of the call. So you're not just getting the coaching on the calls. Like I talk to some of my clients every single day through text or like voice message in there, like venting to me. They're like, is this Instagram postcode? So like, we're working through all of it. So that's the main way to work with me. And then I also have 90-minute sessions, and I'm also going to be launching something. I can't say what it is just yet, but in the beginning of May, I'm going to be launching something that's like much more accessible to most people that I'm very, very excited for. But yeah, Instagram's pretty much the main way of finding me. DM me. I answer all of my DMs. I'm happy to chat.
She does. That's how I, that's how I hit her up, but I'll make sure to put the @ in the notes of the podcast episode. But yes, thank you so much for talking with me today. This was, yeah. I think I just had a coaching session, to be honest.
Yeah, so. I love it. Just a little piece of it. I'm happy.
Awesome. All right. Well, you have a great Friday and a great weekend. And I look forward to connecting more through Instagram.
Yeah, of course. See you later.
Today's music was written and produced by Tyler O'Brien. You can find him on Instagram at Dreamscape, DreamScape, and follow his band at Wastelander_band on Instagram.